Hello and welcome back to another episode of Our Stories and Conversations on Mental Health. I'm your host, Matthew Modica, and I am joined with Gerardo.
Gerardo,
how are you today, mate?
Very good. Very good. Nice day.
Nice day. It is beautiful, nice day, Australia. So we're going to be talking about, Gerardo, what the mental challenges from migrating from Mexico to Australia. So I've got a couple of questions to ask you, and I'm going to start off with, what was the hardest part of adjusting mentally to a life in Australia?
Wow. At the beginning, when I arrived to Australia, it was more... I got like a mentally of, for the first time, I was expecting less, I don't know, like something is different.
Yeah.
When I arrived, it was something like, for me, was kind of overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I really feel like intimidated.
Yeah.
Like when I went to the city and I saw a lot of people and then English, probably English was more a barrier.
Yeah.
Because... despite like we're learning English in Mexico, like we don't have the practice to express ourselves very well. So at the beginning, when I try to do something and thinking like people don't understand me, and it's like make me crazy. And also the difficult part, it will be getting out from your comfort zone. Like my bubble, like everything was different, like family, like when you don't have like the support you have back in my country, it's like now it's in my own, like that kind of challenges. When I feel lonely, when I feel like stressed because of I didn't get a job, when I didn't get like I have to pay the rent, I have to pay the studies, and that is one of my challenge.
How did you deal with feeling homesickness, especially in the early days of coming here?
I think it helps that my brother was here a little bit, despite like I didn't have a good relation at the beginning, but just having a family here like try to help you, try to support you when they can. Help me to mitigate a little bit the homesick. But yeah, still like my mom, my dad, or my cousins, like I really feel like very connected with my cousin, one part of my family, that I always talk with them, like my problems and what should I do, what should I not, like, and the different hours, like different time zone that make me like no reach, how you call it, like was difficult to connect with them, like if
talk for example to them and message them because of the time difference would be like early morning over there and you'd have to wait until you wake up to get a response. So if you were to call them or you know or just message them to say hey I feel like this, you're not gonna get an immediate response, you'll have to wait.
Like that.
Yeah.
It was more like that. I'm not sure about the question, but I have like a in time when I get like a really a crisis, like an existential crisis. Like, and it's part of like life when everything is not looking well, looking good. And it's like, what should I do? Like, and I was about to go to Mexico again, I bought the flights, I bought everything. Everything was arranged to go to Mexico. One of my flights was canceled. So I took the decision to stay. And like happened. And then start again like the depression. I didn't feel like kind of how you call it, like my life is worthy. Like, should I do this? I don't know. Like, I don't want to bother anyone. Like, and that is kind of like build up in my mind, and like it was more like anxiety. And then like I met my friend, like, and they connect me to a specialist and we have like a conversation, and I learned like sometimes being vulnerable is helps heaps. It helps to just someone to listen to you and just be there and guide you. Like, this is normal, like let's work with that. Like, and most of them is more like a childhood part of what I'm feeling anxious. It was more like I'm not good enough, like I don't know, like it's more in the childhood, like more in that part. So
were there any cultural differences that you found challenging or surprising at first here? So like the way we celebrate things and the way we do things compared to the way they're done in Mexico, were they, you know, was there any difference?
Probably more in Christmas. I can tell Christmas was more like, for me, an impact when I celebrated my first Christmas here was kind of like empty house, like, because in, back to Mexico is a big, it's a big one. And I remember like it's a big deal and everyone is like happy and excited to share that moment with family and giving gifts, sharing moments or stuff. And when I arrived here, it was just my brother and also like friends like you create here. Like I have a lot of Colombian friends, like I'm so thankful with, for them. And they just adopt me like, let's do this, let's have a dinner. It's still good, but it was more like, that is when I feel the homesick. Like it was like, okay, but you adapt. You adapt it and you build new relationships, like you create new traditions, a new way to spend time with friends and occasions. Like apart from that, is probably kind of tradition for me is the Day of the Dead. I'm still celebrating it, and I'm still putting the, how do you call it, the offering, the altar. Yeah, so that is what I just keep doing it, and because it keeps me, that side of me, like, still with my family passed away, so it's, I feel the connection, and sometimes, like, I've been teach or taught like that, like, and I really like it, like, I really enjoy that moment. And part of that, that's,
is there much, like, when it comes to culture, like here in Australia, you've obviously noticed we've got a lot of different nationalities and backgrounds and very, a lot of diversity within the communities. Is there, is that like that back at home, like in Mexico, is there like a lot of other cultures or is it mainly Mexicans? Is there more diversity as in same-sex relationships and all that kind of stuff? Or is it?
No, in Mexico, it's more Mexican. It's more like we don't have that diversity. Yeah. I know, like, some places, some cities, they have some, like, Japanese people or community and Korean. Is that is more because we have, like, as Mexico has a business, overseas business, for example, Kia, Volkswagen, they just arrived, but it's a small one. You cannot see, like diversity here in the streets, on the restaurants, and that was an impact, like, but I like it.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed to share, for example, in my classes, when I start here in English, I love to learn more of the cultures. It's no more like they told me or I research in internet. It's, they really share their experience in back to their countries. In general, actually, Mexico, I can say, I'm not sure right now, but they, when I was there, being like a, in the community of LGBTQ, it's more like a taboo. Like, they don't talk about it. They were people, but it's not like an open conversation you have, like, normally or the common days. And, yeah, like, sometimes it's, there is another thing, like, I notice in my people is they just be good with the overseas. Like, for example, someone came from Germany or someone came from United States. They were, like, kind of, we tend to menospreze us, like, they're bigger, well, they're more than us. And that makes us like, ah, yeah, I treat you well, I treat you like... And when I arrive here, it's like, I really feel the sense of like, we're equal.
Yeah.
Like, no matter like your background, like you're equal, like you have the same opportunities than everyone. But yeah, like culturally, it's more, they teach us like, we're just, we're Mexicans and we're like hard workers. And it's like, you have to always tend to... obey. And yeah, like that is a part for me, like it was fighting in myself, like fighting inside me. And yeah, but when you discover it, when you overcome it, it's really pleasant, it's really clear, like the way you you live there.
How did you manage language barriers here in Australia?
Again?
Like, how did you manage to talk to people? Did you have much English coming here or did you have no English? How did you manage communicating with people here when you first came?
It was first, like, I just get the community, like, as Spanish speakers and just get along with them and little by little. Like, I studied English in Mexico. I was telling me, like, I kind of having a basic conversations, but when I suddenly you confront or you face the reality, it's like totally different. It's like, I don't know what to say, like, or sometimes it's like, like, yes, something like that, like, you don't know and you don't want to border, and like, yes, yes, or... But I think it helped me a lot, like, starting with people is not, like, having relation or conversation with people, they don't have English as a first main language.
Yeah.
And because we commit the same mistakes.
Yeah.
And it's easier, like, practice and practice. And then I remember, like, having conversation with Australians, but in my mind was more like, they will judge me, they will, like, I don't know, like, they will laugh at me because I don't know. But no, like, opposite, it was so friendly. They were like, ah, you mean this, and try to help me to, they understand, they understand. And it's like, okay, and I feel I like break that barrier, and it's like, okay, let's start conversation more with Australian, with more locals. And also probably my work helped me a lot, like working in hospitality is you connect with a lot of people, and most of them you have to communicate all the time, and that helped me to just overcome that, or express more myself, like express whatever I want, like, yeah, let's do this, and yeah, like...
Did you experience any identity shifts or changes in how you see yourself after moving? Like, did you feel that you changed your ways, or...?
I think, yes, totally, like, as you told, like, sometimes being vulnerable helps a lot, and me for... was kind of confusing. One day was, like, because of how I was rising, like how I was like growing in my childhood.
Yeah.
I identify like my family, they're like more machism. There are a lot of machism. And I really reject that. Yeah, macho man, and like you have to do this and stuff. And I really reject that because I saw my mom suffering from that. And I really like investigating or more like getting to energies. It's like my male energy was like really down, like because I was reject everything like that. And when I arrived here, I realized like I was having a lot of female friends, and I said why, like, and then I started like getting confused, like why thinking in that, like, and sometimes it was a time like I was thinking like, am I gay, like am I like that, but I never feel attraction for a man. Yeah. For that reason, it's like so confusing.
Yeah.
And then when I start like reading more about it, like getting advice from like the professionals, like your energy or it's like your instinct, your male instinct is like really low. Like you have to heal that. You have to. There is a lot of tools. Like I really don't want to advise here, but is I take those advices and start implement it. Like start doing it, and yeah, like, and you realize like I'm a man, like I really want to have a good relationship with my future fiance or my future girlfriend, and that is what it matters, like being able to get deep in your what you are, like why you behave like that, or exactly like that, and yeah, like just what I don't know, like just work with that, I don't know.
Yeah. Now, I have more female friends than I do have male friends. And what I think it is, men that are, and I know you personally, men that are more in touch with their feelings tend to have more female friends because females are a lot more in touch with their feelings as well. Where, you know, I have mates that are the macho and da-da-da-da. I'm not really that close to them, but my male mates that are like me, like yourself, I'm closer with you. So I feel that because women are more in touch with their feelings than what men are, and men need to start understanding it's okay to be in touch with your feelings. That's why we have a lot more female friends than we have male friends. Totally. That's the way I see it.
Yeah. So, and I really agree with this.
Yeah. So how did your perspective on family and relationships change after migrating?
Wow. A lot. They changed a lot. Like, actually, like, recently... I was talking with my parents about it, like when you be aware of like what is mental health and how it can impact your environment, your friends, your close ones, and you put it the perspective back to Mexico. For example, when I go to Mexico in 2022, I was already aware of like what is mental health. I really live my crisis and stuff, and it was so impactante, like I don't know how to call it, like really shocking. Like yeah. When I arrive and see my family suffering too, and they kind of like normalize it. They kind of like, it is what it is, and it's yeah. like this is life. And yeah, like my relation with my parent, my dad was more like, he just get stressed. He just every time he was like angry for like, I just have a lot of memories of that. Like my dad just yelling at me, yelling at us, like yelling everyone. But at the same time, outside from home, like for friends, it's like, yes, I do it. Like he put another mask. He put like, no, we are like good family. You're
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And yeah, like, actually I was talking with them about it, and they're like kind of open right now. Like they just, kind of, when I talk with them, they try to get help. They just get into a community to just talk about it. And yeah, they changed a lot. Like, when I already told my friends, like, I want to meet my parents or know them as a person they are. Sometimes just we keep the memories of the parents. Like, I mean, like, my dad is angry. Like, just memories of when I was a child and he just arrived and tell us off, or, like, you have to be this, you have to do that, like, and sometimes when I get outside from that environment and just grow up and then realize, like, everyone is a person, everyone is, like, a human being that feels that can change their decisions, or, and I just take the step to, like, to tell my parents, like, let's meet again, let's catch up, like, start again. Like I want to know you as a Pablo, like as you, and that helped me to overcome these memories from my dad, like from that negativity of, because at the end he just want to everything for us, and probably he teaches a lot of good things. I got like how to be really responsible, how to be a hard worker, the values I have with my family or with my close ones, but also like they can split, like, and they just, it was a cycle, I think. And I try to heal that. And also the relationships, I tend to do the same, like as a man. I mean, I considered myself like a little bit toxic at the beginning, because I was the kind of man, like, if someone like likes me and I just approach and stuff, like you start like just dating, I was like just thinking like, she's my girlfriend, I want to like prove it everything, and I try to give it, and she's kind of like I don't have the mood to hang out today, for example. Yeah. And I was like, so like overthinking. And it's like, no, I'm doing something wrong and I need to fix it. And now it's like the relationship I'm looking for is more like, we are the same goal, but we are different. I'm not yours, you are not mine. And it's like, we are walking together, like we have, of course, intimacy.
Intimacy, that's
intimacy. Right. And but it's more like, it's your life, and you are responsible for your happiness, and your self belief. I'm not responsible of your your happiness or something like that. Like, that is one thing like I learned. Like, I suffer, but at the end, like, when you overcome, when you see it in that perspective, like, it's really grateful, like, and also, like, I was, like, the person, like, I I couldn't live alone, like always having, I need to hang out with this or hang out with someone, and because being my alone was more like destructive. Like my self-talk was like, I don't know, like you will be alone, you will be you're a loser, you're something like that. And but when you, after the tools, I get the professional, and they help me to heal that. Now my conversation with myself is very opposite. It's like I feel so good from my own, and yeah, like try to share that kind of experience, or that my love, like I try to share the what can I offer, and but without taking responsibility of the other people, like if that makes sense.
Yeah. MHC Matthew Modica@gmail.com if any single ladies want to turn this into a dating site, a dating podcast. All right. So were there any moments where you questioned your decision to move? How did you cope with those doubts? So you're talking about, we're not allowed to even say that, so I'll have to beep that out. But the pandemic, so it was around there is when you questioned to go. Is it just because you're locked up? And
yeah, there's a lot of actually the first time I feel that was it 1 month when since I arrived, like why did I do this, like, and it was kind of intimidating, like as I told you, like, and then question like, will be able to overcome this, like, do I have what it takes to live in another country? And at the beginning was more like studying English, like, and but also I was so intimidated. And then when I was hanging out with my friends and seeing the culture here, or like really, I love from Melbourne is that they love art. Yeah. And they love every kind of art, like music, visual art and stuff, and they really support it. Like I fell in love with that, like, because I'm a drawer, like I'm painting, and I really want to become an artist. And in my way, like, okay, I know that in Mexico it will be so hard, too hard to do that. And it's like, I got the opportunity here. It's like, okay, what should I do to make it happen, to make it a reality? And yeah, like just start like researching, like investigating how to stay here. And yeah, like help me to get in this job. I mean, I'm a chef, and yeah, like I just got the sponsor, and I'm so happy and so grateful for that. At the same time, it's like a win-win.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I'm so grateful with my family. Where my brother is here with my family, my friends in here, like you, Danny, and Karen, Gabriel, and also like my bosses, like my restaurant.
Yeah. I mean,
they give me the opportunity, they give me everything, and now like I just have a big project like coming out, and it's like, is thankful for everyone.
Yeah.
Me. But yeah, like as you say, like there were several times like I did myself, like why did I came to Australia? And the big one, it was after the pandemic, between and after, and it was like because we didn't see the when we'll be finished, and there is no clarity, and probably the uncertainty.
Yeah, uncertainty.
Was a big one for me. That is like something that it makes me trigger my anxiety, like not knowing what is going on in my future is like the past, like the worst.
The worst. All right then, so how did you navigate building a support network in Australia? Did you find it easy or difficult to make new friends?
I think at the beginning was difficult because also my personality was more shy.
Yeah.
More like, for me, they have to approach first, like they have to say hello to me first, or they have to make me, to create a relationship. But some friends teach me a lot of ways to create a new relation, like a new friends. But it was like over time. Like, but I think at the beginning was really hard. Really hard, like, because the only friends I got would be like English classes, in English. But I would just see them in English and in the classes. And I remember Karen was one of the first people like invite me to outside the classes, like let's hang out, like stuff. And then that was like getting out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, I really feel like I love analogies, and it's more like a dog, like a pet, when they like really how do you call it, maltratar, how do you call it when it's like they just punish, and it's like and the dog is afraid and it's like don't really trust in anyone. Like I feel like that, like I can't trust
what you explain exactly, then, yes.
and yeah, like and then my friends helped me to overcome that, like to not everyone is bad person, like not everyone is like try to hurt you, and yeah, like just be friendly and be genuine.
Yeah.
And be genuine, be you and stuff. Like, they will like you as you are.
Yeah.
Like, another thing, like, I try to do is more like, he's cool. Like, I try to imitate, but that was not for me. Like, it was more being genuine and yeah, like, little by little, it was more easier to create friends.
That's good. Did you notice any changes in your mental health during the transition, such as stress or anxiety or?
Actually, like right now I can tell like my anxiety is gone.
Yeah.
And the depression of course is gone. Like I think everything could be what I realize is more in your self-talk. It's depend of like the perspective you take and the way you talk to yourself. Like sometimes we just being or self-talk is more echoes from the past, and there is like no, you just repeated it like unconsciously, and when you realize it, you have the power to control that, your thoughts and stuff, and put it in another way, it changes. And for example, when I suffer like overthinking it, this was like just last year, like when I tried to stop it, and I realized like in my mind was like something happened, and I was like feeling the, I know someone told me like the holding rabbit, the rabbit hole.
Rabbit hole, you fell down the rabbit hole.
Exactly. Like, and I just stopped. You're overthinking. I tell myself, you are overthinking it. And then, like, I feel in the present, say, what should I do? Solutions. And just get it the positive perspective. Like, I mean, positive, negative can be different for everyone. There is no bad, there's no good, but it's like, what is can benefit to me? And there is no hurt anyone. Like, and yeah, like that helped me to build a healthy self-talk. And yeah, like it takes time. Sometimes it's just an automatic. And it's like, and you just get it out of control. But I remind myself that you have the power. What do you think? And what is your action and how you react? And yeah, like, don't let my exterior environment like influence in that. Like sometimes it's normal to like be upset, like, but at the same time like you are in the control. Like you really want to be upset or you want to control, like take it in another perspective. Like okay, there's another chance another time. There is another chance. Let's learn from what happened and just be more passive, like more like to neutralize the situation, because otherwise I really like the saying, like when you are angry, it's like you holding like a hot rock.
Yeah.
So the only one is hurting is you yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like it's better just release it and learn it. Like okay, next time I will do it. I will do it in a different way.
Mm.
Yeah.
And looking back, what do you wish you had known about mental? About the mental challenges of migrating before making the move?
Well, probably if I get more confident in myself before I arrive. Because I realize when I get... now I'm confident, it's like there is a lot of opportunities. There is a lot of ways to awaken your potential.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like, but building confidence is more like, it's dependent on your environment and your first environment and then, and your support, like your network, your support. But yeah, like probably is be more confident in myself. Like, and yeah, like that is what I would change. But that is life, like. That one something like I've been proud of myself is taking that courage instead of like hiding like in my comfort zone. Is like despite like I was like so shy, like just go and like kind of just jump into a rift. Like. And yeah, that's why I was proud. But probably being more confident in myself like will help. A lot, like heaps.
You know, lastly, do you have anything else you want to add that I haven't really covered or asked about? You're migrating from Mexico. Is that
Mexico?
Mexico.
Probably, I know like a lot of stories out there, like from migrant people. Everyone has like different stories. Everyone has like a different challenge. For me, it's like. Take the courage and also don't hesitate to approach your network, like your friends. Like if you pass in something difficult and you want to just like because you think like you can handle, it's better like you talk with someone and just listen and express it and then just take. Be an open mind to receive sometimes critics, sometimes feedback, like, and that will help you. That will make you to be part of like that community and get overcome of your fears, and yet like support and courage and self talk. One of the I probably recommend everyone is working the self talk.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's good. All. Well, Gerardo here is actually the godfather of our son Emilio, we decided, because he's such a nice, genuine bloke.
Thank you.
Good bloke. We met on it was Australia versus Argentina.
Yeah, true.
In the World Cup game, Karen that you mentioned was a mutual friend. Karen was friends with my partner Danny, and then yeah, she was moving back to Colombia and we came over and that's when we met and then we started hanging out and yeah, been pretty cool ever since, and it's good to be able to meet people, you know, from Mexico. I've met people from Colombia, learning a lot about the Latin community because there is a lot to learn about it instead of the stereotypes that they may get. So thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for coming. And if you want to come on the show and share a story, you can do it via internet or you can just write in your story. It can be confidential. Gerardo elected to come on camera. You don't have to come on camera if you don't want to.
Yeah.
For the YouTube, on Spotify, obviously, there's no camera. So, yeah, there is confidentiality in there. So you don't have to answer any questions or anything like that. It's all confidential and we respect your your decision. So if you do want to come on the show, email me at mhcmatthewmodica@gmail.com, or you can message me on Instagram, which is MatthewModica MHC. And like I said, you can just email the story, I'll read it out. I won't say who it comes from, just read out the story and have a conversation about it. So thanks for watching, truly appreciate it. Again, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. And yeah, actually, this is my first time in camera. Like,
oh,
it was like kind of good. It's a good experience, yeah.
Yeah, well, you'll be seeing more of Jared. Yes, he'll be coming more on the show. I can guarantee you that, to talk about more things. So thanks for watching, guys. We truly appreciate it. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.